Trinitarianism to nationalism are simply a conditioned soul's attempt to relieve that emptiness. But none of these activities go to the heart of the matter, and therefore none of them can negate emptiness. The only thing that can relieve the conditioned souls of their sense of alienation is the re-establishment of their constitutional loving relationship with Krishna. No activity, even writing spiritual masterpieces, as from Vyasadeva's example shows, can replace alienation with a lasting sense of completeness. Nothing short of devotedly serving and glorifying Krishna can deeply satisfy the soul. So if you're dissatisfied in your life, then you should also introspect like Vyasadeva and figure out how we can reconnect with Krishna in whatever we are missing that connection with Krishna. So with that in mind, we move to the fifth chapter, Narada's instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam for Vyasadeva. Text 1.5.1. Suta Vacha Athatam Sukham Asina Upasinam Dahashava Devarshi Praha Viprashim Veena Pani Samanyiva. So this Narad Muni is appearing, and we read how Vyasadev welcomed him nicely, offering him a seat, offering him obeisances like that. So Suta Goswami said, thus the sage amongst the gods, Narada, comfortably seated and apparently smiling, addressed the rishi amongst the brahmanas, Vedavyasa. So, just yesterday in Sati Sangha, in the Bhagavad Gita class, we reached the point where Arjuna is even dejected, just perplexed, doesn't know what to do. And then when he finally surrenders to Krishna, as Ramada Mataji was explaining, that he surrenders to Krishna one time, but then he keeps seeing that Krishna is just watching him. Right? And then when finally Krishna feels that this man is really ready to receive information and instruction, so then there's one particular verse that talks about Prahasanna, where Lord Shri Krishna is smiling and he's looking at Arjuna. So the same thing here. No, it's about this mood of surrendering to a higher authority when we are confused. So our lives have to be guided. The reason Lord Krishna was smiling over there, as we explained yesterday, was because he sees that a friend has become a disciple. So here, Narada Muni is also smiling because he knows the great sage Vedavyasa, and he knows the cause of his disappointment. And he will explain gradually that Vyasadeva's disappointment was due to insufficiency in presenting the science of devotional service. Narada knew the defect, and it was confirmed by the position of Vyasa. So here, another point that is important is that because Vyasadeva was sincerely introspecting and trying to find out how he can better his service, so that the Chaitya Guru in the heart facilitates the external Guru to come to you so that you can get the right instruction. So here, Narada Muni is coming here because Vyasadeva is sincerely introspecting. So the super soul within Vyasadeva's heart inspires Narada Muni to come there and instruct him. We've seen that in the sixth canto also about Chitraketu. When Chitraketu is feeling frustrated, doesn't have children, so then how Narada Muni and Angira Muni come there. And then how the second time when he loses a child that was born with great difficulty also, how Narada Muni and Angira Muni come there automatically to instruct him. By their own will, that's what we read in the sixth canto. So here, Narada comes there and he's smiling. He knows the defect, but he's still asking him. So now, this is a very deep verse. And think about that Narada Muni is addressing this to you. He's not just asking this to Vyasadeva, but Narada is asking this next question to you. 1.5.2. Narada Vacha Parasarya Mahabhaga Bhavata Kachidatmana Pratishyati Sarira Paritushyati Sarira Atma Manasa Evava. Translation. Addressing Vyasadeva, or addressing all the ladies of Lalita Sangha, the son of Parashara, Narada inquired, are you satisfied by identifying with the body or the mind as objects of self-realization? So my dear ladies of Lalita Sangha, Narada Muni is inquiring of you, are you satisfied by identifying with the body or the mind as objects objects of self-realization. Are we satisfied with that? We're engaging in that. That's not what he's telling you. Hey, you're engaging in that, but are you satisfied? Think about it. He's making you think. He's not directly, you know, usually we like to instruct people directly. Oh, you're done? This is wrong. This is what he did. No, he's just asking him, are you satisfied by this thing? You know, since it's signs of questioning that we should all learn when we are sharing Krishna consciousness with, instead of giving them a download of philosophy, we must learn how to question like that. Purport. This was a hint by Narada to Vyasadeva regarding the cause of his despondency. Vyasadeva, as a descendant of Parashara, a greatly powerful sage, had the privilege of having a great parentage, which should not have given Vyasadeva cause for despondency. Being a great son of a great father, he should not have identified the self with the body or the mind. Ordinary men, with a poor fund of knowledge, can identify the body as self or the mind as self, but Vyasadeva should not have done so. One cannot be cheerful by nature unless one is factually seated in self-realization, which is transcendental to the material body and mind. So your soul is spiritual. Yesterday we were reading, Naham Chindanti Shastrani, Nainam Naham Dahati Pavakaha, Nachanam Kridayantapu, Nano Shoshyati Marutaha. The soul cannot be touched by earth, water, fire, air, or ether. Basically, no weapons, no water, no fire, and cannot be withered by the wind. So now the soul is completely transcendental. But, and the soul cannot be touched by any of these things. Forget about being pleased by any of these things. Right? Because the soul is completely different. The nature of the soul is completely different from matter. But we are engaged in identifying with the body and the mind as objects of self-realization. We are engaged in filling the needs of the soul with all these material things which are made from earth, water, fire, air, or ether. Any of those five elements. So how can the soul be happy? That's what Prabhupada is telling. That's what Narayana is telling. One cannot be cheerful by nature unless one is factually seated in self-realization, which is transcendental to the material body and mind. So, that means you have to satisfy the needs of the soul and not of this body. Just do enough for the body to keep it together. But more of our time has to be engaged in satisfying the needs of the soul. So, any emptiness we feel, any frustration we feel in relationships, all of those would go away if we are properly situated in our relationship with Krishna and we are engaged in activities of self-realization. Then you will not be like an empty vessel that makes a lot of noise, but you would be like a full pot that does not make noise when banged on the outside. 1.5.3 Jignyasitam susampannam apite vahadbhutam kritvan bharatam yastvam sarvartha parivartam. So, translation. Our inquiries were full. So, Narada Muni is now telling what went well. See, all these things, you know, we are learning when we go to the corporate world. You know, first give positive feedback, then get to the heart of the problem. You know, so first, and you know, and genuinely appreciate what is good first. And give your feedback in a dispassionate way, not something that makes you angry and agitated, but in a very dispassionate way. So, you see Narada Muni doing all of that. Your inquiries were full. And your studies were also well fulfilled. And there is no doubt that you have prepared a great and wonderful work, the Mahabharata, which is full of all kinds of Vedic sequences elaborately explained. Purport. The despondency of Vyasadeva was certainly not due to his lack of sufficient knowledge, because as a student he had fully inquired about the Vedic literatures, as a result of which the Mahabharata is compiled with full explanation of the Vedas. So now, we have also heard a lot of things in Krishna consciousness. So many lectures, so many prayers, so many festivals, so much prasad, so much this, so much that. And so we are not lacking in sufficient knowledge. We have enough. We know enough to go back to Godhead. But we still have to hear again and again. And we still feel empty. And we still feel lonely. And we still feel frustrated in our lives. Right? For the same reason, we are not connecting with Krishna. The knowledge is only at the head level. It has not come to the feeling level, the heart level, where we have developed those strong emotions of love for Krishna. Right? जिज्ञासीतमधीतं च ब्रह्म यत्तत् सनातनम् तथापि शोचस्यात्मानाम् अकृतार्थ इव प्रभो. Translation: You have fully delineated the subject of impersonal Brahman as well as the knowledge derived therefrom. Why should you be despondent in spite of all this, thinking that you are undone, my dear Prabhu? So he is asking, he's making Vyasadev think, hey, you've done this perfectly, you've done this perfectly, you've delineated the subject of the impersonal Brahman and the knowledge derived from that. Why are you despondent? Right? So here, Prabhupada is writing down that the Vedanta Sutra of the Brahma Sutra compiled by Srila Vyasadeva is the full deliberation of the impersonal absolute feature, and it is accepted as the most exalted philosophical exposition in the world. It covers the subject of eternity and the methods of scholarly. So there cannot be any doubt about the transcendental scholarship of Vyasadeva. So why should he lament? Good question. So Narada Muni is making him think, hey, you did this, you did this, you did this. You know, and you're dealing in it with an impersonal Brahman very well. You did the Vedanta Sutra, so you're still despondent. You know, so that's something that is helping Vyasadeva think. Alright? So we'll read something again from Bhurijan Prabhu's purport to, or rather commentary on Srila Prabhupada's purport, the explanation of Srila Prabhupada's purport. And then he's telling, for text 4, he's commenting from Jiva Goswami's Preeti Sandharva. And he's, the Jiva Goswami's commentary on this particular text 4 that we read, I'll just read it out. Jiva Goswami writes that mere Brahman realization, as Vyasadeva had achieved and described in his books, cannot satisfy the soul. The soul's true need is love, Preeti. Direct perception of Bhagavan, who appears as Paramatma and in many other forms, is the highest kind of liberation. In that highest liberation, the most exalted spiritual activities are known by names like Bhakti, devotional service, and Preeti, spiritual love. Spiritual love is considered the highest of all spiritual sentiments. Preeti eradicates all suffering. Without Preeti, it is not possible to attain the highest stage of spiritual life. Preeti is not dependent on anything else. To the extent that we have Preeti, we are fortunate. Preeti is present as we make progress towards liberation. It is also present when we have attained liberation. That is the correct understanding. The form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is full of transcendental bliss. Transcendental bliss is the abode of Preeti. Preeti is most important in the experience of transcendental bliss. Therefore, a spiritual soul should always try to attain Preeti. Preeti is the greatest need, the highest goal of all spiritual souls. So, we are also in Vyasadeva's condition. We have a lot of knowledge, we can speak a lot of knowledge, share a lot of knowledge, but that Preeti is missing. The love for Krishna is missing. And Jiva Goswami is telling here that spiritual love is considered the highest of all spiritual sentiments. And without that, it is not possible to attain the highest stage of spiritual life. Right? And that love for Krishna, that the most amazing thing that I'm finding out here is that the Preeti eradicates all suffering. So that makes that love for Krishna, if we cultivate it very carefully, then it will make us transcendental to the material suffering. Tolerance will not be a task, but will be a byproduct. It will just happen on its own. So this Preeti, we have to cultivate. Otherwise, the philosophy will just remain in the head. We have to cultivate these loving feelings towards Lord Krishna. We have to bring the philosophy from the head level to the heart level. We have to bring it at the feeling level and not just at the thinking level. Text 5. Vyasa Vacha Astya Eva Misarvam Vidam Triyottam Tathapi Natma Tati Yushyate Me Tanmulam Avyakta Vagada Vodham Ichha Mahetatma Bhavatma Bhutam. Translation: Sri Vyasadeva said, all you have said about me is perfectly correct. Despite all this, I am not pacified. I therefore question you about the root cause of my dissatisfaction. For you are a man of unlimited knowledge, due to your being the offspring of one, Brahma, who is self-born without mundane father and mother. So Vyasadeva is carefully hearing what Narad Muni is telling. And he's thinking about what Narad Muni has said. So after thinking about what Narad Muni has said, he's telling that, yes, what you have said about me is correct. And despite all of this that I've done, I'm still not satisfied. So therefore, can you please enlighten me by the root cause of my dissatisfaction? Because you are much higher than me. You are the offspring of Brahmaji. And we read and we heard so much about Lord Brahma over the entire Thanksgiving weekend in the temple during the Brahma Samhita seminar by His Holiness Ramakrishna Swami. So Brahmaji, you know, who has so much authority, so much tapasya, who has pleased the Lord, and to whom, you know, who received the Gopal Mantra, the Kama Gayatri Mantra, and who meditated and who pleased the Lord, and who had attained the highest level of realization, and all these things. So you are the offspring of that person. So I'm sure you can help me. Please help me. So this humility has to be cultivated by us also. Right? And we will see how nicely Vyasadeva is just, you know, surrendering to Narad Muni in the next few verses.
Purport is very important, the Prabhupada writes down. Very short purport, but very, very instructive. In the material world, everyone is engrossed with the idea of identifying the body or the mind with the self. As such, all knowledge disseminated in the material world is related either with the body or with the mind. That is the root cause of all despondencies. This is not always detected. Even though one may be the greatest erudite scholar in materialistic knowledge, it is good, therefore, to approach a personality like Narada to solve the root cause of all despondencies. Why Narada should be approached is explained below. So now he's explaining, Vyasadeva is explaining. Tavai bhavan deva samasta guhyam upasito yat purusha purana paravaresho manashaiva vishvam sujatyavatyatti gunaira sangha. So the qualities of who should be approached. My Lord, everything that is mysterious is known to you because you worship the creator and the destroyer of the material world and the maintainer of the spiritual world, the original personality of Godhead, who is transcendental to the three modes of material nature. Purport. A person who is 100% engaged in the service of the Lord is the emblem of all knowledge, because there is knowledge in action. They understood the philosophy and they are acting at that platform. Such a devotee of the Lord in full perfection of devotional service is also perfect for the qualification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As such, the eightfold perfections of mystic power, Ashtasiddhi, constitute very little of his godly opulence. A devotee like Narada can act wonderfully by his spiritual perfection, which every individual is trying to attain. Srila Narada is a 100% perfect living being, although not equal to the personality of Godhead. Right? Text 7. Tvam tvam paryatannar kaiva tri iva tri lokim antascharo vayurivatma sakshi paravare brahmani dharma to gathai natasya menu namanam vichakshva. Like the sun, your goodness can travel everywhere in the three worlds. And like the air, you can penetrate the internal region of everyone. As such, you are as good as the all-pervasive super soul. Please therefore find out the deficiency in me. Despite my being absorbed in transcendence, under disciplinary regulations and vows. So, he's considering the Guru at the same level as the Lord. The Guru is as good as the Lord himself because the Guru is completely devoted in serving the Lord. So the Guru is not God, but he's as good as God. Right? So, purport. Transcendental realization, pious activities, worshipping the deities, charity, mercifulness, non-violence, and studying the scriptures, and the strict disciplinary regulations are always helpful. There's another very interesting thing here. You know, in the material world, we are trying to have a moon express. Recently, we went to serve prasad at one person's home in Seattle. So Google has a prize. I think I mentioned about this earlier. That we'll go to the moon.
You know, they'll give them a prize of some millions of dollars. So this person has, he's an Indian, he's invested $20 million in the project of going to the moon. He's already done 2 years of work on that. Right? And he's making so much attempt over there. So that, there we met his brother had also come there. So his brother is telling, oh, you all are from Hare Krishna temple, please tell me something, like about Bhagavatam. So then, this older person who's invested in all the moon and money and everything, he was hearing. So then he's telling his brother, hey, why do you want to know about all this? I can tell you about all this. And then he gives some mundane explanation of Bhagavatam, which I don't even want to repeat over here. But the point is that if you just read Bhagavatam, and if you chant nicely, you serve nicely, you develop love for Krishna, then you don't have to make some special endeavor to go to the moon. See, like Narad Muni, you can travel everywhere. He's spending millions of dollars, but here this is free. Totally free. You don't have to put any money in making even some yantra or something, you know. Automatically you can go everywhere. You can penetrate anything. You get everything you want that this material people are offering, you know. After the smaller than the smallest, bigger than the biggest, walking on water, this, that, you know, all these things, you know. Now the Amazon has come up with this drone delivery. You should all go to CNN.com and watch the video of how Amazon plans to do delivery. They already tested that thing. It's going to be like a mini helicopter that will come and drop the package at your home. The thing is, they cannot do more than 5 pounds. But 90% of the deliveries are 5 pounds of weight. So then helicopter will come and drop it at your home, and then we are like, wow, wow, this is so fascinating. But hey, you know, there are kalpavriksha trees. If you just do devotional service nicely, then you have kalpavriksha trees, whatever you desire, you will get. You don't need this Amazon delivery and all these things, you know. So all that this material world is after can be achieved by devotional service, actually. You don't have to, and that is just a byproduct. That is not what we are after, but that you'll get as a byproduct, side dish. You know, the main dish is Preeti, love for Krishna. You just develop that, and then you don't have to waste your time, money, energy, endeavor, human form of life in all of these things. So, moving to the text 8. So now Narada, so because Narada is first helping Vyasadeva think, then Vyasadeva is thinking and Vyasadeva is expressing, and then he is surrendering to Narad Muni again. Right? So then Narad Muni is very straightforward. And then see, you know, the straightforwardness that is there is not coming from an emotional place. You know, it's not coming from a place of anger. It is coming from a place of compassion. You know, usually we act out our emotions. You know, even if we are trying to help somebody, you know, we have our own emotions, our attachments to certain ways of thought, and our attachment on how that person should listen to us, our attachment on how that person should live their life and everything. But yeah, Narad Muni is giving very strong message, but in a very detached way. So that is something we have to learn, detached caring, where we help the person, but in a detached way. Sri Narada Uvacha, bhavatanudita prayam yasho bhagavato malam yenaiva saunatushyeta manyeta darshanam khilam. Translation. Sri Narada said, you have not actually broadcast the sublime and spotless glories of the personality of Godhead. That philosophy which does not satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord is considered worthless. So we have to be very careful of what we are speaking also. If we are sharing Krishna consciousness with others, our family, our children, or in some classes somewhere, we have to speak the philosophy that satisfies the transcendental senses of the Lord, not just mundane jnana. So what does, you know, if you just read about the process of creation, you can read it in a very technical way. Oh, this happens, Dharmodaksha Vishnu, then this happens, then Mahavishnu comes, and then Mahavishnu expands, and then Mahavishnu has many universes coming out, and then Rama Devi is there, Chaya Devi is there, and then the universes increase in size, and then they enter the Mahatattva, and then Mahavishnu enters inside as Garbhodaksha Vishnu, blah, blah, blah. You can go very technical, and you can explain the entire process of creation like that. It's not going to be pleasing to the transcendental senses of the Lord. But if you do it with Preeti, oh, the Lord is so wonderful. You know, the Lord has compassion. You know, the way Maharaj is doing, the Lord has compassion for the living entities. He wants the living entities to get the supreme ananda, bliss of Krishna consciousness. And then he does this whole act of creation. And then, you know, the way, if you explain with Preeti, with connection to Krishna, then the philosophy is pleasing to the Lord. Otherwise, it is not going to be satisfying to the Lord also. Forget about impacting somebody else's heart if it's not pleasing to the Lord. Right? So, Which text is this? We'll read the purport of the next text. So, text 9.
Yatha dharmadayaschartha munivaryanukirtita na tatha vasudevasya mahima yanuvarnita.
Translation. Although great sage, you have very broadly described the four principles, beginning with religious performances, you have not described the glories of the Supreme Personality, Vasudeva. So very clear. He's telling you have not broadcast the Lord's glories. Right? And you have described Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, but you have not described the glories of the Lord. So then people will still remain at the level of the body and the mind. That's the first question he asks. Right? He's asking him, are you satisfied by identifying with the body or the mind as objects of self-realization? So dharma, artha, kama, and moksha are at the level of the body and the mind. This moksha is not that moksha that we are after. The moksha that we are after is that even if we are in this material world, we are fully imbued with priti. So that's what Narada Muni is telling. You are not explaining properly. You have just explained this, but you have not described the glories of the Lord. You have not connected it with Krishna. The purport is very nice and it also explains text 8 nicely. We'll read the purport and we'll end the discussion for the day. And then from next class we will discuss from text 10. This chapter is huge as far as I understand. Just 1 minute. And it has many popular famous shlokas of Srimad Bhagavatam that must be memorized if you want to taste the nectar. The beautiful verses. Oh, I think this chapter is 40 verses, yeah. So, the purport, the prompt diagnosis of Sri Narada is at once declared. The root cause of the despondency of Vyasadeva was his deliberate avoidance of glorifying the Lord in his various editions of the Puranas. Now, this happens to us sometimes when we are preaching, and it happens to all of you. When you cannot directly speak about Krishna, then you are not very, you will deliberately avoid speaking about Krishna, glorifying the Lord. Then you don't feel very happy and satisfied. And it is not satisfying for a devotee to not glorify the Lord by the every activity that they do. So, he was certainly, as a matter of course, giving descriptions of the glories of the Lord, but not as many as given to religiosity, economic development, sense gratification and salvation. So, yeah, he described about, in Mahabharata, about the Lord. But not as much as he talked about this, all these dharma, artha, kama and moksha. These four items are by far inferior to engagement in the devotional service of the Lord. Sri Vyasadeva, as the authorized scholar, knew very well this difference. And still, instead of giving more importance to the better type of engagement, namely devotional service to the Lord, he had more or less improperly used his valuable time, and thus he was despondent. From this, it is very clearly indicated that no one can be pleased substantially without being engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, this fact is clearly mentioned. After liberation, which is the last item in the line of performing religiosity, etc., one is engaged in pure devotional service. This is called the stage of self-realization or the Brahma-Bhuta stage. After attainment of this Brahma-Bhuta stage, one is satisfied. But satisfaction is the beginning of transcendental bliss. One should progress by attaining neutrality and equality in the relative world. And passing the stage of equanimity, one is fixed in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. This is the instruction of the Personality of Godhead in the Bhagavad Gita. The conclusion is that in order to maintain the status quo of the Brahma-Bhuta stage, as also to increase the degree of transcendental realization, Narada recommended to Vyasadeva that he should now eagerly and repeatedly describe the path of devotional service. This would cure him from gross despondency. So how much do we need the Guru in our life to guide us? Amazing. So we will end here for the day. We've read 9 verses. And this entire section from 8 to 22, Narada Muni reveals to Vyasadeva the importance of describing Lord Sri Krishna's pastimes. So we'll cover the remaining verses next week. And my hope is by the end of this month, we will be able to finish this chapter, hopefully. And then January we start from the 6th chapter, which is further instructions by Narada Muni to Vyasadeva, which is very, very long chapter. So that is not as long. Or maybe it is. That's not as long. Yes, is there any discussion, any thoughts, any comments, any points you would like to add? Please do so, so that we all can benefit. Who all are there on the call? So I know on Skype we have Shweta Kulhatkar, Devi Suganya, and Madhavi Thirty Madhaji. And on call, I only know of Shalini Talwar Madhaji. Who else is there on the call?
I just joined. This is Hetal. I just joined. I got late, so.
Oh, no problem. Thank you, Hetal, for joining. Who else is there?
Hare Krishna Madhaji. This is Samuta.
Okay, so we have Amuta Madhaji. And who else was there?
Navya.
Nisha, oh, thank you for joining. Nice to hear your voice. And who else is called?
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam.
Navya, thank you for joining, Navya. And is that Sudha General in the back?
Yeah, Hare Krishna Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Anyone else? All right, any thoughts from anyone? Navya, would you like to share something? Any inspiration that you get after reading these verses about Vyasadev or Narad Muni? Anything, please share.
I'm sorry, Mataji, nothing to tell.
Anything from Amuta Mataji? Or anything from Shalini Talwar, anyone?
Hare Krishna Mataji, I'm sorry.
Hare Krishna Mataji, this is Amuta. I have a question. as you discussed, when Maharaj class was going on, he was talking about the creation. The mood, the mood which we listen is, I understood that it was completely different because, even though I wanted to listen in a, pleasing to the, in a devotional mode, but, only the, since I don't know the creation process, the thing is I want to, accumulate that knowledge. Only the technical part was standing out. And I couldn't, I was trying very hard because, but I couldn't realize that mode of like a devotion. I couldn't see Krishna there, I couldn't, I understood the technical part, but there's no transformation in my heart. And I attended all the lectures, but finally I came to the conclusion, Maharaj was trying to give Krishna to all of us, to me, but I'm not able to, I didn't feel any transformation. That's what my, technically I understood most of the things Maharaj was saying. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say.
I understand.
So, how do we, I tried to cultivate, but, I didn't work out. I'm not sure.
The point is that the conditioning we have because of the education systems we have gone through is about grasping all the points so that we can write our paper nicely and come first in the exam. So that conditioning is there. And, so that's why we hear from a knowledge gathering perspective and not from a heart melting perspective.
Yeah.
That's how we hear.
Yes.
Now the conditioning will take some time to go. And You know, the good thing is we are realizing that. And also, I was discussing the same thing with Namananda Prabhu before the Brahma Samhita thing started, that, you know, I have this tendency, but then, you know, I want to not miss the point here, because Maharaj also said many times that, you know, the essence is Krishna. I don't want you all to miss the essence. The essence is Krishna. You need to focus on the essence.
Mm-hmm.
So, but when I was talking to Namananda Prabhu, he was sharing with me that, you know, but to even make an attempt to understand all these things properly, you know, even from a knowledge gathering perspective, is still good, because we are trying to understand the Lord, the Leela of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And then gradually we can come to that point. So we have to, therefore when we read Bhagavatam, we have to, now, you know, we are reading about Vyasadeva. Then later on we will see, okay, no, why was Parikshit Maharaj hearing this thing about the Lord in the last 7 days of his life?
Mm.
So we have to hear from the heart, we have to impact from the heart, and then we have to remember, okay, the Lord is creating this whole thing, you know, this is the Lord's compassionate nature, this nature, that nature. I mean, I hardly got maybe 0.01% of the mood of what Maharaj was trying to elevate us to.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's good in a way, because it also makes us humble, that, hey, I'm so far away from this. So, all these experiences are good. And then maybe before, the next time what we can do is before such seminars or before we read about such things, we can pray very intensely to the Lord that, you know, I have this tendency, Lord, but I want to see it from a bhakti standpoint and not from a jnana standpoint. So, we can pray like that.
Yeah,
so it's a good beginning.
You know,
we're all neophytes, and it's a good beginning. The result is not going to come immediately. Just being patient is also being a good devotee. You know, is also bhakti. That is, you know, someday Krishna will reciprocate. That's what we read in the last verse of Shikshastaka,
right?
Yatha tatha vavita dhatu lampato pranatastu saiva napara. So it's not that Krishna is not appearing in front of us, but then we have to be patient, and that is love.
Mm.
This is conditioning that is there from millions of lifetimes. It's not going to go away by attending one seminar or by one time praying to the Lord. It will take time. The good thing is, we are owning the problem. Yesterday, Radha Krishna Prabhu was telling us in the evening class, if you own your problem, then you can fix it. So, good thing is, now we are owning our problem, and gradually we'll be able to fix it also.
Yeah, I want to thank you as well.
You want?
You know, because of you, I was usually think I can't understand Maharaj's lectures. You know, it's too technical for me. His words are like very supercharged words, and I can't understand. So, but this time I prayed, and then I was able to understand even the technical part. I was happy with that. But finally, my idea was like, wow, I learned so many things. But Maharaj was trying to give Krishna to me, but only thing is there is no change in me, you know. But yeah, thank you. But I would like to immensely thank you for at least giving me the attitude to sit down and listen. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. You already have that. And another thing Namananda Prabhu was saying is that, so when we are even trying to focus on these things, even if we are taking a at least our mind is filled with things about Krishna at that time. And then when we are thinking about it also, we are thinking about Krishna. At least we are using our intellectual propensities and understanding things about Krishna. So it is still positive. It is still good. And this process of creation and all, you know, to be able to understand and see it as a mercy of the Lord, it takes a few times before you realize it. Like, few times you go through understanding it, then you are able to see. Because first the information itself is so new,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, mind is just trying to grasp all of that.
Yeah.
And once you understand the basics of, then you will get there.
Okay.
And you will be able to see it as a mercy to the Lord also. So keep at it. Keep doing it.
Thank you.
So now when you go for the Vedic Cosmology Part 2 seminar on December 7th, 14th and 21st, you will see a change in yourself and how you are grasping it.
I pray for your blessings, Mataji. Thank you.
Oh, my blessings, Maharaj's blessings, Harivlas Prabhu's blessings, Amritananda Prabhu's blessings, because he is doing the seminar.
All the Vaishnava's blessings, Mataji.
Anything else? Thank you. Anyone else? Any questions?
I think, I mean, this is what I got my self-realization, this is Hetal, that I don't like watching Mahabharata. this is just my personal experience, because I think it is more at the passion level where people are kind of wanting something, versus at the spiritual level, I agree what realization Vyasadev got and what explanation Narad Muni was giving. So after having this understanding, I only look Mahabharata as Arjuna as a pure devotee who sacrificed, who surrendered and listened to every instruction by just understanding it is Krishna's intention and I have to work accordingly. That was a pure surrendering. Rest all was people at the material level just ignorant and greedy about their position. So this was, that's why I said, you know, stop. Because when I'm watching something that's against my thought, I like to disconnect that. So I just wanted to share that.
Oh, that's very nice. You know, you are taking the message like that. So, but the devotees, so yes, Mahabharata seems like that. It seems very political, seems full of intrigue, seems full of wrong things happening. And we wonder why we should read all of that. So yes, that's a good thought. And then many people have, in India, they say you should not keep the Mahabharata at home. Right? You should not keep the Mahabharata at home because fighting. But I used to think like,
Go ahead. No, so, but what I'm coming to that platform, because when I was at an ignorant platform is before joining Krishna consciousness, for me Mahabharata was the beginning and end, you know, that's what we learned. But after joining Krishna consciousness, we think Mahabharata more as an Upanishad and a history, but understanding Krishna was... Well, that is what Vedvi has missed in Mahabharata, and that's what so many of us are still ignorant to understand the true position of God, you know. I hope I'm making sense. No, I'm saying that Mahabharata never taught us the true position of Krishna. It never, so that is why we see so much of ignorance in India and so many places, because the preaching of Mahabharata still did not connect us to God. That's where I said, you know, that's what I'm realizing now, so.
So thank you for your thoughts. I'd like to add a comment here. So the way Mahabharata has been depicted, or the way Mahabharata is translated, see, Vyasadeva's motive of, and we discussed this in the previous call, maybe you missed it, Vyasadeva's motive of writing Mahabharata was to give Krishna. So as Prabhupada is telling, he wrote little bit about Krishna, but not as much as about the Dharma, the Kama, Moksha, and the other books he wrote. But his goal for Mahabharata was to glorify Krishna. And his goal was perfect because he himself is a literary incarnation of Lord Krishna himself. So his goal was that through all these stories, he will glorify the different aspects of the Lord's personality. His bhaktavatsal nature, his relationship with the Pandavas, how he speaks the Bhagavad Gita, how he takes care of his life. So all these were stressed. So Vyasadeva's goal in writing the Mahabharata was perfect. But the what we are supposed to is the different Mahabharats that some TV productions came up with. They were perfect in the storytelling part of it, but they did not glorify Krishna properly as the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Yes.
Right? And also different English translations. Like I have these comics that I used to read when I was a kid. I won it in school as a prize. And about 3 or 4 years ago when I was in LA in a bookstore, I found the same comic, so I bought it because it reminded me of my childhood. So when I read that comics again, I realized that Krishna was just being spoken of as, you know, another person. He was not glorified as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now when we have the understanding, the proper understanding, and then when we go back to read the Mahabharata, then we will be able to see Krishna in action. And there are many ISKCON translations of the book of Mahabharata, which have been translated by devotees who have that understanding of Vyasadeva's goal in mind to glorify Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we must all read that book. In fact, Radha Krishna Prabhu was telling us that as devotees, Radha Krishna Prabhu is our teacher who is teaching us Bhagavad and who taught us Bhagavad Gita. So he told us that as devotees we all must read the Mahabharata, and especially we should read the devotees' translations of Mahabharata, because we will understand the kind of mood Arjuna had towards Lord Krishna, as you explained, you know, he was a pure devotee of the Lord. How he related to the Lord, how the Lord related back to him. We will understand the dharmic principles. How dharma was higher. Like, you know, simple example Krishna gave that, you know, when they had, Yudhishthira had refused to play the dice game, or maybe they had played the game, they had lost, or maybe he had refused and they were going back. But then Dhritarashtra sent a message again asking Yudhishthira to come. So then Yudhishthira accepted the message and he went over there. So then his brothers were, like, you know, so then you may think that, you know, the way usually we see Yudhishthira is like a weak-minded person is being presented. You know, this man didn't have any sense. But actually, he was dharma personified. So then when we read the devotee translation, we understand why Yudhishthira went back. The reason Yudhishthira went back was not because he was attracted to the dice game. The reason he went back is because when his brothers told him that, hey, why did you agree to this? We lost everything because of this thing. You know? So because his brothers could tell him that. So then he told his brothers that I refused one time and then we started going. But then we got the invitation for the second time. So I thought maybe this is some intervention by the Supreme Lord. And maybe the Lord has some plan and he wants to use us in that particular plan. So I thought it would be a good service to go back over there and do it. Now, we have to appreciate, oh wow, you know, Yudhishthira has this level of consciousness. Now, of course, we cannot independently be like Yudhishthira that something we refuse and second time it comes and we think that, oh, you know, the Lord's plan, I need to go. No, we are not at his level, so our lives have to be guided. And you have to take guidance at every step of our life from our gurus. But we can appreciate, wow, this was Yudhishthira's mode. He was ready to lose everything so that he could engage in the Leela of the Lord. So, when we read the devotee's translation of Mahabharat, we get so many different subtle messages from it. We understand dharma, we understand relationship between husband and wife, we understand when we read, and we will read in the 7th and 8th chapters about Draupadi, and how when Ashwatthama, she forgives him, and how she wants to forgive him even if he killed her own 5 sons and all. So we see the behavior of these exalted devotees of the Lord. So when we understand the behavior of the devotees of the Lord, we understand how the Lord reciprocates with his devotees, how the Lord Krishna is there at every step. We see Kunti Devi's mode. We will see that in the 8th chapter. But how the Lord is there at every step to help them, guide them, and the kind of mood she has to the Lord. So then we are able to appreciate. So now we have proper knowledge. So we all must read Mahabharata. And you must read the devotee's translation of Mahabharata that is available in ISKCON. And we will understand these things properly for the betterment of our spiritual life. And then we will understand the gap that different Mahabharata we saw on TV or even the books that we read earlier, how they did not, as Hetal Mataji very nicely, it was a wonderful thing that she brought out, that they did not glorify Krishna properly. So thank you very much for your comment, Mataji. We really sincerely appreciate you bringing that point up and connecting that, you know, how Mahabharata has been understood in the present age with how Vyasadeva is feeling that despondency. It's amazing. Thank you very much.
No, thank you. And thank you for clarifying all this, because this is helping us to get the right knowledge and clarify our thoughts and getting closer to Krishna. So all of your attempts are worth it. So I really appreciate your time for this.
Thank you very much for your encouragement. I feel it encourages me to do my service nicely. And just one announcement I had for everyone. So the Celebrating True Womanhood course, we will be doing on this Thursday and next Thursday. I think hopefully we'll be done in 2 sessions, and depending on the questions of the audience, we might go another session. But the remaining 3 sessions are okay. We read about dharma, we read about varnashram, we read about the women's duties. Now, how do we apply them in the current time, place and circumstances, and also with respect to the conditioning we have? So how do we apply it? You know, considering that we were not trained to be like that, we were not raised to be like that. So we will discuss more of the practical aspects now in the next 3 calls. And I'm very happy to announce also that starting this Saturday for 3 sessions, December 7th, 14th and 21st, for the ladies who wanted me to do something in the evening so that they could come there and they didn't have to just, you know, miss it because they are at work. Mostly what we've been doing with the ladies' programs is daytime, but this is the first time we're doing something in the evening. It's a big start and we request all of you for blessings. So we are doing a seminar, Taking Charge of Your Emotions. We will be taking various examples from Srimad Bhagavatam for this, and we will be also covering and explaining the verses I think it's 262. Vyayato Vishayatam Sam. You know, the verses where it describes about how, you know, basically the transition from desiring for something and how when that desire is not fulfilled, it gets converted to anger and then we're bewildered in our memory, we lose all sense and we fall down to the material pool. So we'll be using those verses to explain how we can change that particular pattern. And how we can be more in charge of our emotions. We will be identifying our feelings, learning how to connect with our feelings, and again, remaining at a feeling level and not at the thinking level in our life, even when we are doing our introspection. So I welcome all of you for this thing, and I'm not saying I'm an expert in this thing or I have mastered this particular thing, but my hope is that by sharing with all of you and by being on this journey of taking charge of our emotions with all of you, I will also benefit and I will be a better person. So the information was sent out in email last week, or on Sunday, I don't remember. And also, we have a Facebook page called Sakhi Sangha. And I request all of you to please like that page, because we are going to do a lot of publicity of our events through that page. And Facebook can make things go viral. And if you all like that page, then whatever we post on that page, you and your friends would also see it. So it's a nice service that you can do to benefit more ladies so that they know more about this Sakhi Sangha program and the more ladies come to Sakhi Sangha, you know, the different things that we offer there. So thank you very much. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, and all the ladies Ki Jai. Lord Premanandi.
So when is the seminar you said on the weekend?